entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes! Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Thank you for downloading, listening, or hanging around, doing what you're doing and being you. With me, as always, a man sequestered in a basement by choice, a guy named Steve. Steve, how are you tonight? What's going on?
Lovely. Buddy? Great.
Lovely. Yeah, wonderful.
Everything.
We had a bit of a meltdown prior to the start of the show. Those of you who are attempting to listen live, thank you. Those of you who missed it, let me just tell you. You missed rage, unbridled rage, I guess you could say. Inexplicable technological issues, technical difficulties. And it's not good because today I'm dealing with some kind of like gassiness, bloaty kind of diarrhea squirts because I guess I got a hold of some bad yogurt, some yogurt that passed the sniff test, passed the should it be that color test, barely,
not the bowel test.
Barely, and I ate it. And then 2 hours later, churning in the goddamn gut. And it's not going well for me in my digestive tract today. And I didn't need the technical difficulties on top of it. Now, Steve, you may be asking yourself, as everybody else is, how does a guy get a hold of rotten-ass yogurt? How does this happen? Is that what's on your mind, Steve? Are you curious?
I'm curious as to when it had expired. Did you even try to, you know, read the expiration date?
Today is the 20th of November. Is that correct?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The yogurt expired the 18th of November.
You're dumb.
What are you talking about? 2 days. It's 2 days.
With yogurt or dairy products, like the day before it expires, I'm like, fuck it.
Wasteful. Wasteful.
No, and that doesn't happen very often. But, I mean, yogurt, I give a little more leniency than milk, because milk is not, you know, like yogurt.
Yogurt is fermented milk, basically.
Yeah, so it's already fermented, so I give a little more leniency to
it
yogurt.
It can handle 2 days in a refrigerated climate if that climate is consistently refrigerated, which is what I'm getting to, Steve. Because for about... what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks at this point, we haven't done a show. We have not been able to do a show because we were one of the people that were affected by a superstorm. Oh, I hate the names. Oh, I hate the names. The fucking, the category of storm, the classification, and the
Frankenstorm,
and the fucking first name. Oh, look out for Frankenstorm. You weather motherfuckers just live for this shit. You fucking leak your sticky goo through your fucking tighty whities every time a fucking tropical depression threatens to hit the fucking coast. And when it does, you're like, oh, get the baby book. Get the baby names. Let's pick a new name and name it. And now they're naming the fucking snowstorms. That little fucking bullshit overblown nor'easter that hit.
Athena?
They named it fucking Athena.
Yeah, they went with a started
they
going with Greek.
They named a fucking flurry. You motherfucking greedy bastards. Sons of bitches. I hate the Weather Channel. I hate weather.com. I fucking
hate. That's what meteorologists do, man.
Yeah. That's
what
all
else
they
are they going to do?
I don't know.
They get 5 minutes of fame a day.
Look at a chart and then just tell us it's going to fucking drizzle. Just draw a picture of a set of galoshes and slide it on a map and just go, with your fucking frown face. That's all you're supposed to do. I don't need you to fucking go into sloshing through the shore as it fucking crests. Just putting yourself, oh, we're putting ourselves in harm's way for the good of the people. No, you fucking jerk offs, you're living for this moment because you're unimportant every other fucking moment. I fucking hate the weather people. Meteorologists are different to me. The people behind the people that generate the numbers, do the science, those are the ones that matter. The ones in the fucking suits every day of the year, and then in the fucking the L.L. Bean fishing gear when it's fucking dicey out. I fucking hate those people. So anyway, Superstorm Sandy struck and we lost power. So,
yeah.
We had some hard times. We were unable to do a show, of course. That's the number one inconvenience, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I don't know.
Motherfuckers.
I had further inconveniences upon not doing the show, like being lack of porn.
It being unable to masturbate to porn. Let me tell you something.
I had some VHS on back burner.
The way that I scavenged for pornography during this downtime on my laptop was the way someone would look for a tin of meat during the Great Depression or the Dust Bowl. I looked through every folder. I searched for any video format file I could find. I found something. I found a lady who was dancing and removing some clothing, and it didn't even fucking get anywhere to the point where
she
was naked.
Why did you save that? Of all things.
I don't know. It was like a temp download or something, like a half-finished file. And thank God I had it. Thank God I had it, or I would have had ruptured fucking testicles from this incident.
You know what I had? I have to give a quick shout out to Jimmy Rhodes. Back when little Jimmy Rhodes ran his DVD website.
Yeah.
One Christmas, he hooked us all up with free DVD porn that I guess he had. So
I remember his business had a it was the best because it had like a top five sold.
Yeah.
And without question, the number one or two movie was titled "I'm 19, Yes, Do Me in the Butt." That was the name of the fucking movie that I always saw in his top five.
Yeah.
And I think Jimmy put that site in his resume for quite a while. Like, oh, he's an entrepreneur. Let's check out his website. Top five sold. Oh, he sells things. What a... Do me up the butt. Whoa. All right, let's see if we got any other cover letters in the pile. Would you ever see that title and feel compelled to purchase the DVD?
No, I'm not one for watching anal sex. I have to say, you know, that's... I'll just go to the next video. When it comes to internet porn, once they stick it up the butt, I'm on to the next video.
But what I'm saying is, the list of top sold was just a list of titles. Like, who the fuck who had the incentive to buy it based on that list? Like, who saw it? Like, you know what? I was going to look for something with a cover with, like, some blonde whore on it. Like, some kind of visual stimulation. But now that I see this semi-racy text, I'm going to purchase it. Listen, we rode right into the storm. Monday night, laptops connected to the internet, power flickering. Just ride it right in. Didn't have any idea how unprepared we were. We had soups. We had water. We had the fucking non-perishables, a closet full of pasta and sauce. We had everything. We could survive. I had no idea I would be without pornography. And I had no idea how truly important gasoline would become.
Oh, yeah.
No idea. The fucking resource, the scarcity of that fucking resource that happened during these few weeks when we were
and out. all those tree huggers looked pretty smart when they had solar panels on top of their house.
Except everyone on my block that had the fucking solar panels had to have a generator to power the rest of their shit. Because you never buy enough of those fucking things. Unless you have a football field of fucking solar panels.
No, no, they had
old ones. You're not running your fucking house.
The thing is, you got to get the new ones. The old ones, like, if they got that shit in the 80s, like my cousins and my uncle had that.
It looks like a calculators. Like those yeah. fucking brown glass panels.
Yeah, like they had like a 3% like efficiency. Now they have like a 93% efficiency, so it's like a lot better now to have the updated ones. But if you don't update that shit, like they didn't upgrade our goddamn grid ever.
Yeah,
they never fixed the grid. They put a Band-Aid on a Band-Aid, and that's how it works when you're fixing the power.
That's what it is. Our community doesn't have the underground lines. We still have telephone poles.
Who does have underground lines?
There are neighborhoods that do. Like the one actually right across one of the major roads in my neighborhood, they have it. We don't. Like, you know, you've never been through a neighborhood where there's no telephone poles,
and then you just notice,
hey, wait a minute. I haven't seen a fucking telephone pole in like 25 minutes. And then you look at every house has that little green box. Those people never lose power for fucking weeks on end because their shit gets turned off as a safety measure. And then when everything's cool, they fucking turn it back on.
Right.
They never lose it because somebody's fucking Dutch elm took out a one line and effectively turned off the state.
Like my fucking neighbors. It's nice living in a community that has 100-year-old trees, so when they fall, they absolutely take out a power line or two.
Yeah. I mean, in my immediate area, there weren't too many trees that damaged property. In my immediate area, I mean...
Oh, man.
In our town, sure, but not on my street, not on my block. But in the woods behind my house, there's some huge fucking trees. We're talking like 10 to 15, you know, foot tall root balls with rocks and shit in them, boulders.
Yeah, yeah.
Just crazy. Crazy shit. And there,
yeah, that happened on my street.
Oh, really?
Like 10 houses south, 10 houses north, 8 trees down, all hit power lines, all were in the middle of my street.
Wow, that's fucked up. So we weren't prepared. We were not prepared. We didn't have all the gasoline. Unless you were one of those people that is just always prepared, you probably weren't.
Doomsday preppers?
Yeah. Yeah. Like my dad is a borderline doomsday prepper. He has 15 gas cans.
Nice.
They're filled. A generator that's always filled with stable in it. Every 3 months he's made sure it works. He's got it wired through the box. You can, you know, power everything in the house with it, run the whole house. He's got everything. He's ready. He's got knives, ammunition. He is fucking prepped. Me? I had a few cans of soup, some pasta. I had 2 gallons of gasoline, and I had a near empty tank. I just pulled into my driveway before a major storm and said, I'll just fill up later. That fucking gaslight ruined me because every time I see it, I'm like, I gotta get it. I'm almost home. I'll go home. I'm almost home. I gotta go home. Fuck it.
I'll get there. Tomorrow's another day.
The way we've been with the storm has conditioned me now. I'm never gonna come home with anything but a full tank. I'm gonna be topped off before I get in my driveway. I'm gonna have my gas cans filled, my generator filled. I'm going to get the shit wired into the house, but now I'm thinking the move is to get the generator that's powered by your natural gas. The fucking
yeah.
the Generac just wired into the house, connected to your natural gas. Just power goes out, fucking flip a switch and you're on.
Right.
Guy across the street has it. I'm like, "Oh, what a weird generator. It looks like it's plugged into the gas." And come to think of it, I've never seen him do that march with the red gas can. Holy shit, he's just not suffering at all because of this.
It's called being smart.
Yeah, or being old and having fucking 10 grand to just drop on that.
Yeah, well, hey.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
That happens 10 times in your lifetime. It's worth it.
You trying to sell me, Steve? Trying to give me the bullet points? Show me the PowerPoint? Yeah.
Yep.
So
a little presentation.
So we were out at my house for about 2 weeks, as far as the electricity goes,
which is pretty much one of the longest in our county.
And we were also out 3 weeks for internet. Just got it back Sunday. I can't believe. Had it back for a piece, a little bit. Got a taste on Friday when we have Verizon Fios, so we had an appointment. Guy called me at work and said, calling about your Verizon appointment. Oh, okay. So how long until you're going to be at the house? Oh, I'm there. I'm already there. I'm like, you're already at the house? He goes, well, I'm turning onto your street. I'm like, you're turning onto the street. My street's not that fucking long. Okay? So he's turning onto the street. He's pretty much there. I go, geez, well, you know, they said that they would give me a, you know, 30 to 60 minute lead time so that I could, you know, leave work. He goes, well, you better hurry because I'm turning onto your street. And he named the street and he's like, I'm turning. I'm going to be on that street. I'm like, well, okay, don't leave. It'll be about 20 minutes and I'll be there. And so I drive. I'm disregarding lights. I'm speeding. I pull up to my fucking house. There isn't a sign of a Verizon truck anywhere. He's not there. He is not at my fucking house. I look for a note. Maybe he put a sticky up and said, hey, you weren't there. I got to go. Maybe something. Nothing. I called him and they said that he updated the case and said he would be there within an hour. That the last time he said he would be, he'd be there within an hour, and it was
Now, at what time of the day was this? What time of the work day?
It was like 3 p.m.
All right, so your work day's shot now.
Pretty much. I said, well, you know, I left work because he said he was on my street. He told me he was on my street, said the name of the street, said he had a GPS, couldn't tell me the time he would get there because he said he was already there. I left, and he's not here. Am I going to be waiting an hour for somebody who doesn't show up, or is he lying, and will he be here soon? So they called me, and they said he will be there soon. 20 minutes later, he shows up. No mention of I'm on your street. It's like, you know, he greets me, gives me his name, says, I'm from Maryland. I'm just here to help. Like that. Okay, great. I'm glad that you're from Maryland. I'm from New Jersey, and my fucking cable's been out for 3 weeks. Could you please help me? Yeah, I can help you. Do you have the box on the outside or on the inside? Like, it's on the inside. So I bring him in, and I show him the battery backup unit. Because for Fios, you need a battery backup because the fiber comes right into the house, and it connects to your shitty copper or whatever the fuck you have inside. So I show it to him, and he goes, your battery light is on. I said, yeah, it's probably on. Because when I called, I told them it was on. And they said they would call somebody. So, yeah, my battery light is fucking on. It says replace battery. He goes, okay. And he starts fucking, you know, pawing at the thing. And I just start looking at my phone. And I hear him take his phone out and starts talking to somebody. And he's like, yeah, man, it's pop. Yeah, you do. Well, you know, really though. Yeah. But really though. I was telling you that was the joy. I was about to hit on that jump off. But man, that's my joint right there. Yeah, your battery's from 2007. And I told it. And what I'm going to try to say is that was my joint. And then I'm glad you heard that. I'm glad you heard that. You need to replace this whenever. You know, it says in your contract you got to replace that battery. No, never mind. I'm just talking to a customer here. I'm fixing his cable. Like that. So it was like a seamless conversation that he was having with someone else and then like interleaving little tips for me with snippiness because apparently I've been neglecting a battery I didn't even fucking know had to be goddamn replaced. It was here before I got the house. I had no idea. I just saw the box. I'm like, oh, there's a box for some fucking reason. I don't know. Then I got Fios. I'm like, oh, that must be what the box is for. And so after telling me it was from 2007, he shows me the battery, and it says 2007 on it. He goes, see, that battery's from 2007. I go,
like
yeah.
Like I said.
He goes, I'll see if I got another one. And he goes out and leaves. Like he might not come back with one. There's like three things that they have to have on that fucking truck. if he didn't have a battery, if he didn't have to have parts that he needed, he could drive a fucking Tercel. Like, there you need cable boxes, you need the fucking set-top box, you need battery backups. That's all you need. That's all you're ever going to replace with fucking Fios. And they have a truck full of the shit. I'll see if I got one in the truck. I'll see if I got one. Comes in with it, he goes, yeah, I got the battery for you. Puts it in. Comes out, goes, yep, okay, so I see the time has come back on your set-top box, so obviously it's working. I said, well, can I turn it on? Yeah, go ahead and turn it on. And it did work. So he was right.
Nice.
And he goes, so I replaced your battery, and yeah, you getting a bill for that. I said, excuse me? He goes, well, it's in your contract. You're supposed to replace them. And that was 2007. That was the old-ass battery. That was an old-ass battery. I'm like, well, okay. It was pretty much, yeah, he was right. It was an old-ass battery. So anyway, I didn't give a shit. I said, okay, go. Thank you. I walked him to the fucking door, slammed it behind him, and I'm like, holy shit, we have internet, we have cable, the shit works. Okay, back to work. Amanda will come home, she'll be able to watch TV, use her fucking laptop, and just stop bickering about how fucking boring it is with nothing. Because that's what it devolved into. It became an argument of like, do you want to watch a movie? I'm tired of watching movies. Well, there's nothing else to fucking do, is there? Well, I don't want to watch movies. You can put one on if you want to. Oh, I'm going to put one on. Just like getting at each other. We were getting to that point where it's like, we just need something here. We need something to go our fucking way. And finally, we got the cable back, everything back. We get home. I get home from work. Amanda's watching TV. She's all pleased. I fire up the laptop. And then I put it down. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm really tired. I've been waking up early because we had nothing to do. So what am I going to do? Just stay awake and fucking look at a candle flame and think about how things used to be? No. I'm going to just
remember
go,
the good old
I'm
days.
Just going to go to sleep and try to fucking time travel my way through this fucking boredom and then go to work early. So I was exhausted at this point. I go to sleep. 2 hours later, internet's off.
Oh, no.
I look at my phone. It's on 3G. I go to the fucking the router. I look at it. The internet light is off. I try to turn the TV on. It has those fucking, let's get ready to watch TV movie curtains. It says, starting up Fios. Just 1 minute downloading content for 35 minutes. Infuriating.
It's not downloading shit if your cable modem
it's not, but it says that. It says that. So I call them up and I say, hey, it's not working again. I go downstairs, look at the box. My replaced battery light is on.
What?
I said, yeah, apparently the battery needs to be replaced. Like, oh, okay, well, but what's weird is in the case notes, it says that, that he replaced the battery backup unit. I said, well, he didn't replace the unit. He just put a new battery in. He happened to have one in the truck. They're like, well, he wrote that he replaced the whole unit. I'm like, well, he didn't. So they made an appointment. They sent a guy. And Sunday, they got it all back for me. They sent a jittery Mexican over from Maryland again, who also had to tell me that he was just here to help. And as soon as he opened the door, he heard Teddy barking. But Teddy was in his crate. Like, I figured you put him in the crate, whatever. And I said, I have a dog. He's very small, but he's also in a crate. So that's why he's barking. He's excited when anybody comes by. He goes, oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's fine. So he starts walking downstairs and is about to pass the crate. And Teddy goes apeshit. The guy gasps, clutches at himself, and falls backward into my wall. Fucking just... He is absolutely frightened, and I already warned him about it. He said it was okay. I said, are you all right? He goes, oh, just, you know, I got startled. I just got startled. The guy clutched his fucking chest because a fucking cockapoo surprised him, spooked him. He fixed it anyway, and here we are. So enough of that fucking story, Steven. I'm so sorry to everybody that we didn't get to... communicate as we usually do. I'm sorry we didn't get to do an episode or two or three or however many we missed. But it's good.
It was three.
It's good to be back. I'm very happy to be back.
Yeah, I'm happy, man. And like, I don't know. Without talking about random shit, you know, life gets boring, I guess.
I guess so. Speaking of life getting boring, is your life getting boring?
Why
don't you just infuse some joy into your life by buying yourself something? You work so hard at whatever it is you do. Go to heroestalk.com/Amazon. Spend some of that goddamn guap on yourself or a loved
one. Christmas time.
Hey, not only is it Christmas, it's also whatever the Jews celebrate. And I'll have you know they love buying things as well. So go to heroestalk.com/Amazon. Buy yourself a present. You get something, and we get a small cut. It's a very, very fun, nice thing that you can do if you want to support Heroes Talk and get a shiny new thing to rub in your neighbor's face. Look what I bought myself. You can't possibly afford this. You know what? Get ready. Get ready for the next time. Go on Amazon. Buy yourself a generator. Or don't. Buy yourself a fucking TV that won't work when the power goes out. When the goddamn balloon goes up and the shit's about to go down, you'll have a shiny TV you can't use. But oh, can you board up a window with it? HeroesTalk.com/Amazon. And speaking of generators, Steve, you had a generator, is that correct?
Yeah, we had one from the last storm.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, last year,
pretty much.
Where yeah, it was a year.
And we were out of commission for about a week then, too. We didn't buy one, but we bought one this time. So you didn't have to wait in any lines or anything like that.
No. We were good. I mean, my brother's a mechanic, so he has a couple gas station hookups.
Oh, nice.
So we kind of bypassed the whole odd-even license plate number thing. Which is funny because I was thinking during that whole odd-even gas rationing, which I think is actually still in effect in New Jersey.
No, it is no longer in effect.
Oh, they did take it off?
Yep.
But anyway.
It's done.
I was laughing because a lot of people didn't know if zero was an odd or even number.
I was laughing because people couldn't just figure out how it worked.
I think a lot of people didn't know if like two was an odd or even number. And they had to like go through a list. Like I heard on 880 radio that they said 0, 2, 4, 6, 8 are even numbers.
They explained it? Seriously?
Yeah, and they said 1, 3, 5, 7, 9 are odd numbers. And I'm like, wait, really? I'm like,
what
people
if,
don't know
what
goddamn
if,
odd
but,
and even
but what
numbers.
If I got a 3 before my 2? What if I got a 3 before it?
What if my license plate
three
ends
is,
with a P?
3 is odd. It's extra odd. If it's a 3-2, people are fucking idiots, man. Absolute fucking idiots. But that even odd shit worked to like a goddamn champ. Because before that, it was fucking
hey, you
it
know
was
what?
A journey to get gas. Let me just say that.
Yeah, it was. Actually, due to my situation of not working during this time, I actually didn't get gas that entire time because I filled up my tank before the storm.
Aren't you just so fucking special? Rub it in my face, okay?
Rub
it in my fucking face, Steve!
So it took me 12 days from the day before the storm to the day, you know, it was well after I got power back and all the gas stations did. And, you know, I didn't even have to worry about filling up my tank.
This is something that Barb's pointing out right now, that her asshole neighbor was filling up 5 red containers and they don't go anywhere. He was just getting it at the worst possible time to get it.
See, that's panic, man. That's what happens when people panic. It's just like the goddamn Twinkies, man. Oh, there's no more Twinkies! Everybody buy... Like, people I know that don't even fucking eat Twinkies. They might have had 2 in their life. They're like, Hose is going out of business. Time to get boxes of Twinkies and sell them on eBay. Like, what? Dude... Did you see that? They had people on eBay. People on eBay were selling like 4 cases of Twinkies for $500. And they had bids. They actually had fucking bids for $500.
I wonder if they're like Jimmy Rhodes bids, where like he would have another account and just bid his shit up. I wonder if that's
artificially inflating.
Yeah. The people that would buy the gas, like Barb's talking about, and just kind of sit on it, they would wait in the line because it's a thing to do and get everything filled up and then just go home and keep it, I guess. I don't know.
I think it makes people panic less. I think when people think that something's going to be taken away, it makes them panic, and they just have to have more of it.
I mean, it became the daily ritual. For the days that, you know, we weren't working, we would just go wake up at 5 a.m., venture out as far west as we could go, and then fucking go to a gas station with the shortest line, wait in it, and maybe we would have gas by the time we got up to a pump. And if we did, we would fill up our tanks, our fucking cans, all that shit, go back and power up whatever we needed to power up. Apparently, by where Amanda works, she works down Central Jersey. No all issue right. whatsoever.
Really?
Not a goddamn game. She could go and fill up 10 minutes.
Wow.
We waited about 3.5 hours maximum for one of the gas lines. I've heard tale of people waiting 7 hours and coming away with nothing.
Oh my
and
god!
Some guy told me this. Told me that he was in line as the fucking odd even shit was about to take effect. He was in line for hours, and at it became midnight. And he got fucking turned away.
Because he had an odd number or whatever?
Because he had the opposite of what you needed. He got fucking turned away. And listen, he's not a master of the English language. He is not an... English is his second language. He wasn't able to convince anybody to let him stay. Let's just say that. So they happily turned him the fuck away.
Oh, man.
Have you ever seen those foreign gas guys happier than when they were filling your car up in New Jersey? By the way, anybody out of New Jersey just doesn't get that we don't fill our own tanks.
Yeah.
We don't get to. It's illegal. So we have people from Guatemala and Kuala Lumpur. India. And
India, Pakistan, Afghanistan.
And Cambodia. They all come over to fill our tanks. And usually they're very gruff and they're very upset. But this series of weeks during the crisis, so happy to see lines up a fucking highway for their shitty goddamn gas.
Yeah, they felt important.
Yeah, they did. We waited in line for the generator because we got a tip. Oh, so-and-so's getting X number of generators. Don't know how much. Don't know how many they have. Don't know how much they're going to cost.
Did you have anybody by you hawking generators in empty parking lots?
No. But
we had people that were there was a bunch of empty parking lots around by me, and there was just random people setting up shops selling generators that they acquired somehow.
Well, it got to the point where you start thinking like that, because Amanda and I were on the line to get the generator. We could have gotten two, and we could have probably sold the other one for a steep profit, and not given a name, not given a reference. Fuck you. Here it is. Give us the money. But we didn't do it. We hung out. We got our own generator. Some fucking supposedly sweet old man cut us in line.
Nice.
And just started jawjacking his way to the fucking front, and beat us. But we knew that, you know, we were in the pool of people who would get it, so we just waited a little longer, and we got the generator and realized, well, we have a generator, but we can't power anything, so we don't have gas. Well, you know what we'll do? First thing, we'll go get some gas cans. We'll do the trip to go get some gas and fill it up. Well, apparently, as about as scarce as generators and gasoline itself, the cans were incredibly scarce and also sought after by thieves.
Oh yeah.
Did you hear about any of these things? People would you know, pool their efforts to try and get, you know, gas for everybody on their block. So a guy with a truck who's planning on going out to Pennsylvania, he's like, "Hey, give me your gas cans, I'll fill them all up and I'll give them back to you after I come back." Great, sounds good. They hand the gas cans over. He puts them in the back of his pickup truck. Next morning, he wakes up, fucking cans gone. Empty gas cans stolen out of his fucking pickup truck.
Wow.
You can't get them anywhere at this point. I mean, now you can probably get them, but what I'm saying is then you couldn't get them.
There were people going around in, like, mall parking lots and, like, large, you know, shopping center parking lots siphoning gas out of people's tanks.
Nice.
Right out of their cars. Hmm.
I never thought I'd have to live in a world where that was, like, a legitimate option. Where that was, like, a thing. Well, you know, we could probably siphon some gas if we needed to. I mean, if it came down to it and we couldn't power our generator, bullshit. We had 1 5-gallon can. 5 gallons of gas is not cheap. $4 a gallon, $20 to fill it up. That gets you 6 hours of running just a refrigerator and a lamp.
Yeah.
You get 6 hours to charge your phone, run a fucking refrigerator, and occasionally turn on a lamp, and then it's fucking gone. Just really, really terrible.
Yeah, I was calculating. Me and my brother were trying to figure it out, and I think it was $80 to $90 for 24 hours a day running the generator.
Yeah.
And you know, people were saying, "Oh, I'm saving money on my electricity bill." Yeah, you're not paying $800 over 10 days, $900 over 10 days to run your fucking electricity. You know, like, okay, maybe you'll get a $10 cut from your electricity to this bill, but I don't think it's cost effective.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I got pretty crafty at finding ways to charge things when I wasn't running the generator. Most of my gadgets have like a USB charger, and I have a couple laptops, and I know that they were fully charged, so I was rationing the laptop battery as a means of charging my phone. So before I had the generator, I just boot the laptop up, plug the fucking shit in, wait till it gets a good charge, turn off the laptop, fucking go for it. If you don't do anything on a laptop, the battery lasts, you know, a pretty good amount of time. You can draw from it and get a half to a full charge, you know, a couple times.
You know what I found out? I can run 2 hours of a movie on my laptop before it completely dies. And I did that the first day. I'm like, oh, power's out.
You wasted your backup source of fucking power, repowering your connected device. You have a 3G phone, don't you, Steve?
Yeah.
So that's all you had to communicate with anybody. Your phone, your internet, everything.
Everything was on my phone.
You could have powered it with your phone, but you chose to watch fucking Porky's and just blow it out the first day. What movie?
Big Trouble in Little China.
And how many times in your life have you fucking seen that?
About 367 times.
So disaster strikes, first fucking thing in your mind is, you know what, maybe when we see Big Trouble in Little China, see how it goes.
You know what? I figured I have a USB car adapter. So as long as, you know, I could start my car up, I could charge my battery in my car.
Yeah.
So I didn't really worry about my laptop that much.
For some reason, a lot of the restaurants near me had power while we didn't. So they were jammed. So everybody would go there. They didn't want to cook. They just wanted to forget that they were going through the shit. With the cold house, with the boring house, with just wires and shit everywhere. Because let me tell you something: when you don't have lights at night, you don't give a shit where you put stuff.
No.
when the power came on, I was living in a completely different home.
What a hovel!
I had no idea where the fuck I was. There was just shit pushed in corners. So I got tired of fucking tripping over it. Wires running every fucking possible direction. Garbage piled up. Just, oh my, awful. Absolutely hideous. No lights. Fuck it. I can't see it. Screw it. Throw it over there.
You didn't burn any candles?
We did. That's one of the things we did to kind of make it not so bad. You know, you light a couple candles, it gets the whole room up. You know, it kind of lights up the whole room. You walk up to the house, it's not just a complete dark fucking abandoned house.
Yeah.
It's got some light in the window. So we decided, let's finally burn the candles that you had no intention of burning. We were going to actually burn the candles that we never intended for candle use. We just used them as air fresheners, those fucking
Like that wedding gift, like the centerpiece.
Jesus. No, nothing fancy like an Amish guy carved with a fucking razor blade. But like a nice smelling Yankee candle, something like that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Maybe a nice baptism candle. No. No, we burned those and just let them roll. And it was pretty nice. But for like a little while. And eventually you're looking at it like, what the fuck? This fucking sucks. Everybody else in this country can connect to all the bullshit I wanted to do. They can all do it. That's the thought you have. You have a human mind capable of thoughts and ideas and coming up with shit and telling stories. And all you want to do is click on little colorful things on a shiny glowing rectangle and not talk to anybody.
Yep.
That's all we're programmed to do now. And goddamn, isn't that great? I fucking love it so much. Oh, shit. Yeah, so there's the candles. Magazines, that lasted 10 minutes.
Magazines?
I'm like, you know what? Amanda likes all these fucking magazines. I'm going to see what they're about. 10 minutes later, I'm like, I'm not reading any fucking magazines. I just piled them up, and then I'm like, I'm not even going to fucking bother. Fuck it.
Actually, you know what? You know what? I'm going to check something right now. Last year, when our power went out, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to read. I'm going to read something. I have a book. I had the...
bookmarking page 3.
Yo, no, it was Game of Thrones.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, all right, this was last year. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read by candlelight and be a fucking intellectual. I got to page 33. That's where the bookmark is.
And isn't it like 1,500 pages? Isn't it like a huge tome?
Wait, the first one is 693 pages.
And I have... really shooting for the moon. Hey, you know, maybe next natural disaster, Steve, get a pile of books with illustrations. Get some fucking Starbelly Sneetches and Hop on Pop and all that bullshit.
I'll just get some porno mags.
Yeah. It was
kill two birds with one stone.
Well, but the nice thing about the restaurants is that you know, they had power and they knew it, so they were attracting a lot of people. And what they would do is they would every place seemed to be creating these charging stations. They had like little tables with, you know, surge protectors and six plug outlet strips that you could just put your shit on and charge it while you were eating.
Yeah,
and I thought I thought that was really nice. And so we went out one night because we wanted to escape our fucking boredom.
Doom. And
the only place, like, there's a stretch of restaurants that are, you know, there's like a Panera, there's an Indian place. There's like, and there's a couple. There's like an Italian place. Everything but the Indian place and the Middle Eastern place get a lot of, you know, traffic. Tonight, that night that we went, the only people, the only place that could serve additional people was the Middle Eastern place. It had one open table. Everything else jammed. Couldn't get a seat at the Indian place. I'm like, oh, you know what? Nobody ever goes there. I mean, look. Jammed. Line at the door. The Italian place. Line at the fucking door and then around the block. Middle Eastern place. Line one table. Maybe a table. I don't know. Some tables that have a bottle on them to mark that they're taken. Whatever. There's standing room. We can get food. Let's go. We go and get food. We see people are sitting with their laptops. They have their shit plugged in. I'm like, man, I should have thought of this. We could have brought our laptops. We could have just hung out here and eaten food for a bit and not been incredibly bored. So maybe we keep it in mind. We look
Can
around.
Can you do that at Dunkin' Donuts?
Probably, but we look around as we're in this place. We get our food, and we're looking for a place to sit. So we go over to this counter where the condiments are and just start kind of picking at our food there. And we notice that next to a table full of African-American youths, there is an empty table, but there's a bottle of water on it. It looks as though someone has claimed it. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and everybody's looking, and they're like, oh, there's no table. I'm like, This is annoying. Amanda goes, this is annoying. Someone has to have just put that bottle there to keep people away. I don't think anybody has that table. I think that's just someone's bottle on the fucking table.
I would have just sat there until someone said something.
So I went over to the youths and I said, excuse me, is anybody sitting here? The person just took the bottle of water gruffly and put it on his own table and said, nah, like that. So we went over and we went over there and goddamn sat down, ate our fucking food and had an okay time. It was pretty shitty. But the thing is, I loved being there because I got to overhear the conversations of who's putting – I got to put in this college application because I'm going to be nursing. It's like being a doctor, but y'all ain't had to go to school. And I'm just overhearing this conversation. I'm like, yeah, oh, that's the option to go with. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you should do that, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I hear, you need to take that power strip. And
what?
I look down and they have like all their laptops plugged into this power strip and it says charging station on it. So it's not like they brought it. They're like, yo, you need to take that power strip. You know, that's like 1995. Y'all need to take that home. When the power come back, we use that on the TV.
God.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, you motherfuckers, this guy is shaving a fucking a quarter of a lamb on a spit into sandwich buns. Well past his closing time. I looked at the door. I'm like, holy shit. Closing time was like 4 p.m. It's 11:30. This guy is just staying open to get business. And these people are going to steal his fucking surge protector. So, Steve, when I heard them say that, I want you to guess what my course of action was.
I go right to the manager and say, yo, these guys are about to steal your shit.
That's what you think I did?
Well, that's what I would do. You would be like, all right.
The question
let's
was,
just watch them.
The question was, what do you think I did after finding out that they were going to steal this guy's surge protector?
You just watched them steal it.
Yep. What am I going to say? Hey, that doesn't belong to you. They're ready for that shit. Fuck it. They walked out with it. You know, fuck it. I don't give a fuck. First of all, I didn't feel terrible, but I kind of did want to see if they'd really steal it, and then they did. And then they left.
I would have known they were going to steal it.
Well, dude. Steve, I don't have these I don't have these racial assumptions like you do. I thought that they were only joking.
Really? You thought that they were joking?
No, Steve. I knew they were going to steal it the fucking minute I saw them eyeballing it.
Exactly.
They laid eyes on it. They're like free.
Free.
So, yeah, here's what I did. I did absolutely nothing, Steve. I watched them roll out with it with their fucking sweatpants. By the way, a lot of people just okay to wear sweatpants during a fucking power outage.
State of emergency, sweatpants go.
Sweatpants and hoodies like we're college girls. Every old men, fucking captains of industry. Children, everybody wearing the same fucking outfit. Just hideous. So I ate my fucking gyro and watched them roll out with the guy's fucking power strip. I mean, to be fair, Steve, they were charging $2.50 for a 20-ounce Coca-Cola Classic, so yeah, I figured it all evens out. Comes out in the wash.
Drink water, motherfucker.
Shit. So what did you do when you were without power? What was your go-to move, Steve? What did you do? Did you share any stories with anybody? Did you say, wasn't that the worst? You'd ever encountered anybody? And
actually,
they had to tell you their story, and you tell them theirs, and they fucking had to, they had to one-up you? Did you hear any of that?
No, I mean, like, I probably talked mostly with my neighbor. Because, like, the day after me and my neighbor were outside, we're, you know, cleaning up trees. Like, there's a row of hemlocks between my house and his house. And, like, you know, like, three of the hemlocks fell over into his driveway. I'm like, yo, I'll get that. And he's like, oh, don't worry. We've been running them over. They're already dead.
I would talk to my neighbor if I haven't soured the relationship by leaving a note asking him to clean up the lawn. By the way, that neighbor, the one who was dumping shit on my lawn, apparently one of his very huge pine trees blew over in the storm and fell directly into the spot where he had been dumping fucking branches. So,
oh, nice.
I think I'm due to send another note.
That's karma.
I think I'm due to send another note. Hey, hey, Bob, just want to let you know your tree fell in the same spot that you've been dumping fucking branches. I don't know if you're going to get to it this year, but I'd appreciate it. No.
Do it. Do it.
Fuck that. Dude, it's obviously he's going to clear it up. The thing is, that was his privacy tree. That was his
privacy
tree.
And now it's gone.
And now it's gone. And I have full view of his backyard. I never liked that guy because he modified his house so that the wall of his house facing mine, he added windows. It was a windowless side by design.
That.
He added a window. Well, guess what, motherfucker? Your privacy tree is gone. Don't think I won't be peeking if you happen to have a pool party or a barbecue.
You should just stand in the window every night for at least an hour. Staring
at us. Just stand, and then as soon as they look up, turn the lights on. Don't move.
Absolutely.
Stand there in a white shirt with a black tie, with glasses
plan.
On, holding a candle.
That's
and plan. Then as soon as they look, just snuff out the candle.
Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah, so his fucking tree tipped over, crushed his fence. It's kind of half in my yard, half out. Yeah, so you were talking to your neighbor a bunch and sharing stories. Well, we had to okay. By the way, you streamer in the chat room is questioning my moral backbone. Surge protector being stolen, none of my concern. Tree blown in my yard by a hurricane. If this isn't removed, there will be problems. Listen, I never said I was fair or rational.
Nah, that shit hit close to home. That's the difference.
There were years where I just let this pass. The guy put a fucking red maple on a pile of branches, threw an entire tree on top of that pile in my yard. And that was it. From then on out, if I saw anything in that pile, I was gonna jump. I jumped. He cowered. He apologized, and then I look out, you know, just after the storm. There happens to be a whole fucking evergreen in the same spot. I take it as fuck you, Ken. That's what I take it as. He put an uprooted tree in the same spot to get back at me. To
yep.
sass me. Fuck him.
Sassing you.
I'm not taking it.
I wouldn't.
I'm not taking it, Steve.
Write an angry letter.
So during the first week of the aftermath, there was a will we won't we kind of period of work. Can we work? Can you
right.
you know all that shit? They moved all the servers that are necessary to connect to another spot, but then they couldn't get them there because that road was blocked. So the next day we'll do it. They finally get it there, and then they start calling everybody and say, okay, do you have power? No. Do you have internet? No. Well, great. So we can't do anything that day. It gets to the point where you're being pressured now to find a way to work. My boss basically said, hey, I think your town library is open.
Oh, my God, really?
Why don't you try to check it out? Because he happens to live in my town. Check it out, and then we'll go there and work. I called him. Yeah, he worked. He went with me, and I met him there, and we worked at the fucking library. But I called him up. I said, do you guys have Wi-Fi? Do you have wireless internet? Yes, we have wireless internet, and we have coffee. And if you want, you can connect to the internet while you're drinking coffee. And it's
and have some Hidden Valley Ranch.
And it's warm, and you can go to the mustard fields of Dijon, France. No, I just have one old lady voice. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not that. I don't have that wide an array of voices. And it hurt me. So I went there. Laptop, all the things I needed, phone, got set up on a counter. Because once again, I'm not the first to think of this. Everybody in the town is there. I'm in a back room, standing with my laptop plugged into the wall, awaiting the arrival of my boss, who I've saved a little section of counter for. I look around, and I'm like, you know, every fucking table is jam-packed. Every fucking table. And so, you know, I notice, like, nobody, people that are coming in are also going to counters. Nobody is taking exception with it. They're just, they're cool that they have a spot. I'm upset that I'm going to have to fucking stand up at a counter for 8 hours and pretend to work comfortably. I can't do it. So I look around, and I see behind the door, there's a really large folding table. All the other tables are not like, they're like just four-legged, solid tables, and two people are at them, and they're fucking packed. Every square inch is allocated by all the people that could possibly be there and their belongings. I see a let's extend the dining room table style fucking folding table long, and I go and I say, excuse me, to a group of Indians. They move their table. I grab this fucking table. They go, do you want to help with that? I said, no. I drag it out. Like, making the most fucking noise you could possibly make. Just scraping and squeaking it in. And I drag it out. I fucking throw it down. And I threw it on its side. Like, you know when the old wrestlers fold out the tables? They make it into like six motions. Whereas yeah. The younger ones could just do it in one fucking motion and stand it up. Well, I put it on its side. I pulled the one leg out, secured it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm making a big spectacle. I fucking flip it up. I put my bag on one end of it, my fucking laptop in the middle of it, my jacket on the other, and my chair directly in the middle, and I plug my fucking my wire into somebody else's outlet, and I sit down. And then I hear mutterings, like, big table, he's at the counter, take the big table. They're getting all snippy, because I'm not sharing my big table.
Snooty.
Someone comes in, and asked me if they can sit at the table. And I said, yes, you can sit at the table. No problem. And they look at me, and they're like, sharing the thing. Like, I mean, I don't know. I felt like I was doing something incredible or something against the rules. But I needed a fucking table to sit down. And if I fucking install it, And set it up and leave it where it needs to be, I'm going to be taking the better portion of the fucking table. Especially because I got people coming here. All right? My boss needs a spot. I don't need you and your fucking Game of Thrones conversation at my fucking table when I try and do work at.
What do you think winter's coming really means? Like in the context of the season?
Shut up, you fucking assholes. Nobody gives a fuck what the hell you're... Anyway, so I try to work. I'm getting emails from other people like, okay, I'm at my town's library and the Wi-Fi's slow, so I'm leaving. And people are like really not trying all that hard to get shit done. And I'm here. I'm doing it. I'm working. Then at the end of the day, we all get assignments of places to go. If I did not go to the library that day, I would have been one of the unfortunate people who would have to make up a day on a Saturday. It was decided that you would come into work on a Saturday if you were unable to get in to a place to work that day. And you couldn't do it on one Saturday. You had to break it up into two Saturdays. 4 hours each
rough
fucking Saturday. Man, am I glad I went to that fucking library. And dragged that table out like a fucking goddamn like I was the fucking warden of a fucking prison. Walked in there, dragged the fucking table out. Fuck you, nerds. Sit there.
Get her done!
Program for 8 hours. Fuck you, nerds. Let me program computer software. So much better than you. Let me sit in front of a laptop and not move my knees so that they click and fucking cripple me when I try to stand up. Yeah. So I worked in a fucking library, and some of the things I noticed from being in a library, and trying to do anything, because I haven't done it since I had to for school. I haven't done it as a guy with just a job. People are really, really fucking inconsiderate now, especially because of their phones. There was a guy that looked exactly like Phil Donahue who I wanted to strangle until he fucking puked. He came in there and put on his earpiece for his cell phone and began talking and conducting conversations. Because I guess he was working too, but his job apparently involves talking to people and
sales rep.
And calling them by their first name three times per call.
And, yeah, that's a sales rep.
And you know what irritated me the most is he had the – like it, I took it as a personal offense that he had a fucking – like a McDonald's headset for a fucking an earpiece in, plugged into an iPhone. He had like a full ear cup and a fucking branch going out to his mouth. Absolutely. Yeah, Bob. Bob, how are you? James. Yeah, James, you remember? Great. Yeah, absolutely crazy. Yeah, thank God, no damage, though. No damage, no trees down. Well, a little shrub down in the back. We had a shrub law. But anyway, Bob, I'm calling because I'm at the library right now. Everybody has to... Oh, I'm at the library right now. You see people fucking shuffling out of that goddamn library, covering their mouth, talking on the phone, and this fucking jerk off just like, oh yeah, I'm just in front of people at the library being fucking jerk.
Was he walking around like staring at the ceiling while doing this?
No, he
was those people.
He was like just picture Phil Donahue if he coached a soccer team, like wearing a checkered shirt with a fleece vest.
Oh my God.
And just sitting at a table looking at a tiny laptop. Like a tiny laptop as of 2003. So it was like 4 inches thick, but it had like an 11-inch screen. This was like something Dell would call ultra mobility or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Featuring Windows XP.
Windows Millennium.
XP3. I don't know, whatever. Hideous. Absolutely hated it. So yeah, we had to work, even though I had no ability to do so, at our office or at my house. Steve, you're indicating that you need to take a leak. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much time do you need?
27 seconds.
You better
seconds.
Go. Because let me tell you something. Steve is about to embark on an adventure. An adventure that is nowhere near as exciting as the joy you can bring into your life by going to heroestalk.com/Amazon and making a purchase. Buy something you like. Let's face it, okay? Christmas lists, you have the wish lists and all that shit. That's for other people to buy you. You have shit you want to buy for your fucking self, and you know it. You work hard. You've saved your money. Now it's time to fucking blow it. Blow it all on something dumb that'll be fucking irrelevant and obsolete in a year. Get yourself a huge iPad. Get yourself a tiny iPad. What about an iPod Touch? You don't even need it, so just buy it and then throw it away. Be frivolous with your money. Or buy somebody else something they want. HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Steve, I have to tell you a couple things. A couple things.
Shoot.
I haven't been able to listen too many podcasts while I was away.
Oh, that sucks.
But I did get to listen to an episode or maybe two of Hate Us Talk, Station Mates, Website Mates, Hate Us Talk. It's our buddy Clayton. I say they, but occasionally he has other people with him. Wednesday nights on Hate Us Talk around 10:30 Eastern Time. And I have
Bug
also
Zapper Radio, you mean?
Oh my God, what am I talking about? Of course. Of course it's Bug Zapper Radio. What the fuck is in my brain? I'm looking at I'm sorry.
We haven't been out that long.
Yeah. And then I woke up with a huge beard. Yeah, Bug Zapper Radio. What am I wow, you know what? Let me just tell you something. Steve, Have you been listening to Bug Zapper Radio?
I did 2 weeks ago, two shows ago, when I first got my internet back, when I was still on generator power, but I was listening. But apparently my my cable modem didn't like being on generator power, and it fried.
Oh, shit.
So
you fucked up your cable modem, and now you need a new one.
Yeah. So, well, thankfully...
Bug Zapper Radio, what am I fucking doing?
I know,
I'm out of practice, guys. I'm out of practice.
So
and like, also, before you get into this, I also want to say one of the other shows that I've been listening is not a member of Heroes Talk, but I really enjoy them. And I think we may be working on something with the folks behind Sandwich Humor and Truth Time Theater.
Do a deal?
We'll see.
Maybe a little deal?
I think there's something in the works. Truth Time Theater. I think it's a fucking fantastic show. It's getting better every time they embark upon it. Now, I haven't heard every episode.
Now, they're on what? Thursday, right?
I believe they are. I haven't caught them live. So
yeah, I think they do Thursdays because I was listening. I was looking, and I thought they did their show on Saturday for some reason. And then I looked up their shows, and it was all Thursday. And I'm like, oh, I'm way off.
But they're great. And if you guys are looking for something to listen to, give them a shot. Let me know what you think. Yeah. I know what I think, and I'm already decided. So, I mean, even if you told me it was absolute horseshit, you're not going to convince me otherwise. I think they're incredible. And I think you might enjoy them as well. Truth Time Theater, sandwichhumor.com. And also Bug Zapper Radio, bugzapperradio.com. Go to Hear Us Talk. All the Hear Us Talk shows are there. Currently, it's looking like a couple of them are inactive, isn't it?
Just a few.
I don't
as
know.
In three plus.
Let's just say, I don't know what the story is with Best in Show. I don't know if they'll ever be back. I don't know. I mean, I think I have an idea what the story is with Geeks of Rage. I don't know if they'll ever be back. We'll see.
I miss hating on Brian. I do.
You know what? I never hated on Brian.
I always did, but it was like a good hate. It's like a...
You never hated on him.
It's one of those things where you want to just punch someone in the face, but you enjoy wanting to punch them in the face.
Yeah.
And you know, you end up not punching them in the face.
Okay. Fantastic.
That's a good thing.
Speaking
good thing.
Of Hear Us Talk and the Hear Us Talk family, we got a lot of people concerned about Frank. People are asking if he's okay. I got an email actually from somebody who I have to believe this is like a joke. I don't remember the name, if this was the name of a character or something, but it was from, I'm trying to find it too. I think it was from Kyle Mason. They were asking how we were.
Holy shit, Kyle.
Do you know who that is?
He was a dialer.
What?
Kyle, yeah.
No, you're talking, that's Rob.
No.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Was that dialer a truck driver?
Not when I knew him. He was like
five years
younger than me.
So Kyle Mason writes, "Hi, Ken. This is Kyle, a devoted listener." By the way, this is all in caps. Okay? A devoted listener.
That sounds like Kyle.
Comma, a trucker, comma, "I've been worried about you, Germ, Steve, and that zany Rumstein."
Or is Rumstein.
Or is it Steen? "I hope y'all are okay." And why I think it's a joke is because the zany Rumstein is in green and none of the other text is. I have That's no great. Idea what to make of it, but I thought it was very nice that he reached out. A lot of you out there on Twitter and Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow and on Heroes Talk. A lot of you have been checking in on us, and I really appreciate it. But I do have an official update, a status on Germ Freak. I got to speak with him nice. Earlier today. And he has the official quote he wanted me to give was about him and his family is as follows. "We have survived." That's what he told me to say. We have survived.
Good.
And actually,
good to hear.
In speaking with him, he was just would not shut up. He would not. He was so fucking excited to talk about his plight, the things that he had to experience, the things he did, all of it. He had a few ideas. Let me just say this. He had an idea for a game, which I think is incredible.
Let's hear it.
No.
What?
I'm not going to share it with you. I can't say it now. He made me promise that the only thing I would share is that him and his family have survived.
All right, but you're going to share it with me sometime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I can't go on the record because Steven, he had said that next week he wants to be on the show to talk about his plight, some of the things, some of the adventures he's had, and boy, has he had them. and also, he wants to debut this game.
That sounds good.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's actually going to be really good.
So wait, you know the format of the game?
I do.
You're saying?
I know the format.
And you think it's going to be good?
I think it's going to be good.
All right.
You know, let's think about it this way. It's a podcast. It's a podcast game. So what could it be? It's a guessing game. Okay? It's a guessing game with a fucking angle. That's every game that's ever played on a fucking podcast, pretty much, right?
Yeah, but a good angle is what you need. I mean, that'll make it.
It's an interesting thing to guess on.
Is it better than guess the Google or whatever it was called?
I don't know. But,
guess the name.
I'll tell you this. Steve. Called. Don't think you're taking my dog dish champion crown.
Fuck your dog dish champion crown.
Let's see. What were the other ones?
I don't care.
What were all the other shitty championships that I've claimed on this goddamn fucking show?
Doesn't matter.
I am the dog dish champion. I am the guess the first one champion.
Guess the first one. Is that what it's called?
The fat or not champion. Undisputed. Come at me, Steve. Try to take one of my many crowns.
Come on.
But he's okay. He's okay. He's excited. He's got some stuff he wants to do. He's not coming back full time. He can't come back full time. He's incredibly busy. But he has said that next week he wants to be part of not only the show prep.
Wait, are you saying Frank?
Frank, yeah.
So it's not this kid Kyle. I thought this was this kid Kyle.
Man, fuck Kyle. Kyle ended after the goddamn green text in the email. Listen, it's great that he's concerned. But I mean, let's face it. The guy couldn't even fucking, you know, do proper case on an email. It's literally all caps.
Caps, nice.
The subject line is "Are you and family okay?" in lowercase. The body is all uppercase. Hi Ken, this is Kyle, a devoted listener, a trucker. I've been worried about you, Germ Steve, and that zany Rumstein, or is that Steen? I hope y'all are okay. Yeah, I wrote back to the guy, but you know. I don't know. See, I didn't know if I was being trolled, but God bless him. God bless whoever.
I welcome Frank back with open arms.
Good. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. By the way, I haven't announced that number because, you know, we don't get a lot of callers. 316-768-4472. Even if you're downloading it, write it down. Okay? Oh, fuck. I have to add Steve again. Sorry about that.
Hi, guys. This is Clayton from Texas. How are you?
Clayton, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm glad to hear that you're back into at least the decade we're living. You've got some power. That's nice.
Yeah, it is good to be back. And also, I can't thank you enough for your concern. You had been sending regular updates or you know, requests for my status and all that to see if I'm alive, how I'm making out. It got pretty grim for a little while, I'll tell you that. But it's good to be back.
You know, buddy, I hate for y'all have snowstorms. Can't relate to that. but a hurricane knocking out power for a long time, I can relate to that. I know that's like, you know, listening to you talk, you know, through, obviously, through text and whatnot about generators and stuff like that, it gives you an absolute complete understanding of what generators are good for and what they're not good for.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in a much, you know, and then until you go through something like that, you're like, oh, we'll just buy a generator and then hook it up, whatever. You don't realize that, you know, just how much gas and shit you consume. Yeah, it just gets mind-blowing. You don't have any idea how much power you require to function.
It's insane. We tried to keep our food alive, good and all that, but apparently, as I found out from my lunch today, the yogurt didn't survive.
Oh, man.
So I have a fucking a whirly gig going off in my fucking my digestive system right now. And I will rock it out of fucking Super Soaker style diarrhea and feel sick for the next 2 to 3 days, I have a feeling.
Well, it's funny you're talking about, you know, yogurt or whatever. While y'all were going through all that power struggle, my mother has been like really, really experimenting on her little farm section. And so she's been making yogurt and like cream cheese. I've kind of been letting Steve kind of know. I think maybe one of these days we'll ship up some stuff, whatever.
Nice.
But she actually started making some like ricotta and some cream cheese and stuff like that. She only gets about 3 gallons of milk out of the cow on a consistent basis because it just wears her out, you know. Obviously, milking cows, but now my boys have milked cow. They all know, my wife too. Nice. Know what that's like. So I'm on a bucket list thing of things you haven't done. So yeah, it's one of those things. But so yeah, it's ironic though that, you know, here you're going through this horrific experience, and at the same time in the world, you know, it's like several thousand miles away. It was beautiful weather. You know, it's like all this horrific accidents going on somewhere. You know, this horrible tragedy, and we're like, this beautiful day, barbecue, you know.
Thanks. Exactly. I mean,
it's just weird how that shit is. Well, no, I mean, like, you know, I remember 9/11, you know, for example, 9/11 when it occurred. The weather was beautiful here. It was a beautiful, you know, fall day, you know, and you're hearing on the news that this horror, you step outside and it's beautiful. You're like, how is this shit going on, you know?
It was actually really beautiful in New York City that day, too. That was, like, a very nice day.
You know, and all of a sudden here's this goddamn windstorm or whatever. It's funny, just listening to y'all, listening to that stuff. I hate to say it this way, and it's going to sound a little odd, but when a storm hits New York area, New Jersey area, it makes national news. they make a big fucking deal out of it. It hits that area, and they act like it's a fucking disaster. I mean, of course it is. I mean, it is. But if a hurricane hits us here, no one gives a fuck. And
it's supposed to hit there. That's why. Every year it's supposed to.
Fucking Galveston, man. Galveston always gets hit hard.
Well, of course it does, but that's not the point. They might care if it hits Houston. Houston's a big city. But if it hits down here, it's like, you know, I guess on the totem pole of races or whatever like that, you know, if you're 85% Hispanic, they just don't care.
Oh, you think that's what it is? Barack Obama doesn't care about Spanish people? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think anybody in the White House cares about people here. I'm serious. Like, they'll say, well, you don't. The president, nobody comes down here. Like, they just don't care. And but it's, you know, we learned to swing it. I guess the thing about this is our recovery doesn't take nearly as long because we're probably just better at it.
Yeah, I bet you that's what it is. I mean, you're equipped for it. New York City was breached and flooded. You know, that was a big deal. It doesn't happen all the time. They're not ready for that.
Well, you know, seeing the pictures of all that water in the subway and shit, you're like, goodness, goddamn. Like, that's horrifying, you know?
And you know what? Horrifying. And you know what? Con Edison got fucking New York up in 3 days.
Wow.
Compared to...
Steve, they know who butters the bread, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why New York was.
You know what?
So
that
fast.
Reminds me of something. My boss, one of my bosses, overheard me or asked me about my lunch, and I said, "Well, I'm staying at my parents, so yeah, I have leftovers or whatever they made." And then he said, "Wait, what do you mean you're staying at your parents?" I said, "Well, I don't have power." He goes, "You still don't have power." This is at like the 2 week mark, and he felt kind of bad, And later on, he called me in his office and said, hey, listen, I know it's only one night because the hotel is completely booked, but we got you a room at the Holiday Inn Express so you can have TV, heat, and, you know, be out of your parents' house. I know what that's like. It's probably terrible. I couldn't be in my parents' house or my in-laws' house for more than a day. So go there and enjoy, you know, being your civilized selves again. And it was great. So I got a chance to stay in a hotel and, you know, feel human again. And in the morning, but in the morning, we had the breakfast. And in the breakfast, we were surrounded by other people who got the breakfast. And what people do when they're eating the continental breakfast is they talk about all the things that are affecting them and all the things they get to think. And this is the venue for all the people that are the worst of everybody, pretty much. Just to qualify it, we're in a restaurant, an eating establishment that has a box with a button that if you push it, it spits out pancakes. So that's the place we're at right now. And people are talking about everything. I overheard this one fucking family. By the way, another situation, no tables available. Find a table. We're stuck next to this terrible family. First of all, there's the 40-something cat-owning daughter who complains. She's probably lonely, probably single, but she is complaining, and she's stupid based on what she said. There's the mother who is inside wearing a fucking sun hat and beyond overweight. Like, there isn't a word. She has just been kind of, like, molded around the chair she's sitting in. And for some reason, there is a husband. I don't know why, but there is. And it happens to be the guy that started Jurassic Park, or at least someone who looks exactly like John Hammond.
Right, so Richard Attenborough, nice.
Yeah, the white beard and everything. Like, this guy has...
Spare no expense.
Exactly, he spared no expense. Here, press your pancake button. Put your styrofoam plate in front of the slot and enjoy breakfast. I heard this... they had the TV on, and, you know, election news and all that. And I heard the mother say something that irritated me. Now, a lot of people might hear it at first glance and say, right on, or I agree, and that's what I... You know, if you disagree with that, you're not right, blah, blah. She said, everyone has a right for free health care. I don't care what you say. That's what she said. Everyone has a right. It wasn't everybody should have or should receive, which is an argument you can make. But she said everyone has a right for free healthcare. Angry like that. I don't care what you say. Like that. And I'm I'm thinking, according to this bitch, using the statement she just said, apparently nobody has the right to not pay for everybody else's fucking free healthcare. Nobody, there's no option now. Everybody has a right for it. Just fucking infuriated me. I don't give a shit if you think everybody should have free healthcare. I don't care, but don't fucking act like it's some God-given fucking right. There are costs that have to be fucking paid. There are costs. Don't fucking discount the fact that somebody is going to be paying for it. And anybody who is going to be paying for it should at least have the option to not fucking pay for it. If you think they should have it, that's a whole different argument.
Or the people who pay for it have absolutely no say in any of it.
And that's fucking hated this lady.
Hold on. But by that definition, you said you don't agree, right? So you shouldn't have to pay for it, right?
I'm sorry, what?
That everybody doesn't have to pay. She had to pay for somebody else's free health care.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So if you don't agree with the free health care thing, you shouldn't have to pay for it. So I'm anti-war, so I shouldn't have to pay taxes that go to the military?
It's a different thing, Steve.
Good luck with that.
Why?
Good luck
Why?
With that.
Because you're not, I'm not saying, if someone who's in support of spending on for defense and for war is not saying, we have the right to get this money to fight that country. They're probably saying, you know, I think we should spend this money. It's a thought that they probably have pros and cons against, maybe cons. And you say, no, I don't think we should. She is saying, this is a right. It's an inalienable right in her eyes. Which means like, there's no other fucking option. It's got to be given or else.
We're going to end up talking about it tomorrow, whatever. It's about, like, you know, leadership and, like, not ruling on using emotion to rule, you know. You're supposed to use a little bit more common sense and whatnot in leadership and movement. And as far as I talk about the role of government, this is kind of ironic that we're talking about. But before I forget, whatever, I just thought of, you were sitting here talking about venue.
Yeah.
And that has to be the venue. I found that today, I was going to tell you, I don't remember when I said it and talked to you about it, was I just found the second venue. My mother and I went to Sam's Club, or, you know, Sam's,
yeah,
you know, to pick up a few things going into Thanksgiving. That is the second venue, and I can narrow it down from Sam's. No. It's the, we're going to give a free sample away. Why can grown men walk over to get free samples of powdered mashed potatoes and stuff like that, and relishing it, eating it, like come here. Mm. I'm just so disgusted, like, dude, hey, before you come, motherfucker, you know what I mean?
Okay, damn. I'll tell you this. When I go to a Wegmans or like a nice grocery store and they have free samples, I'm all in. Because what they're doing is they're grilling a portion of a lobster tail. They're putting with some like citrus sauce on a fucking kebab spear or something. It's like a prepared meal that I can eat. I'm not going to goddamn Sam's Club to taste potato flakes and act like it's some fucking blessing. So, yeah, I will eat the free sample if it's an incredible quality. But I can't believe the people who are like, you know what? Let me try Kix cereal just to see what it's about.
Yeah, hey, we'll get free samples of, like, Kellogg's Special K or something. You know, like, you're like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. No, this is lining up.
You know what? It is actually special. I never bought it because I thought it was too highfalutin, but now that I try it, I'm going to buy a box. Goddamn.
Are we that attracted to free? Like, we just free, like, free healthcare? Oh, it's free. Well, fuck, I'll take that. I'm looking at it like, first of all, it's being prepared by a savage. Okay? Let's be completely honest.
Yeah.
And then, like, she or he or whomever, you know, is breathing over it on a little hot plate. I mean, this is not exactly ideal.
Yeah, this three-star chef who previously was collecting carts.
Right. Or the guy who's giving us away free samples of wine, you know, is probably 21 years old, probably been stealing bombs of liquor.
Oh, what kind of grapes are in these? These is rib grapes. Oh, red grapes.
Between, and you're asking a 20-year-old guy, he's probably 21, maybe 22 years old, what's... And I looked at my mom, and she was asking a question. I walked away, apparently, for a second. She's, what's between Moscato d'Asti and the sparkling Moscato?
Shut the fuck up.
That's like your mom, like, just get what you want and just get the fuck out of here.
Don't,
like,
ask questions. Just get what you want and go.
Wow. You know, like, well, so yeah, so they make you sign a piece of paper. Like, my mother's gonna be like, I think, like 59 this year, and they go, we need to see your ID. It's, yeah, you know, we need to see your ID. So then you have to sign this piece of paper in 12 different places, but then they actually give you a half a shot of wine.
Yeah.
It's like,
wow.
And then they're like, well, you can't give it to him because he has to sign, and I have to see his ID. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of these old ladies who clearly were probably voting in the Truman administration, needing to see a fucking ID to get a goddamn sample of wine.
Clayton, you know, you have young parents.
Who, my parents?
Yeah, 59, and you still have your dad? Like, do you still have grandparents?
No, they passed away a couple of years ago. Relatively young, too. What's that?
All right. So no, you don't have any grandparents left?
Yeah.
No, they actually, my grandmother died. She was at 70, I think. And that's early for those old Bohemian women lived to be 100. Like, you know, they're like hard as coffin nails. You know, but Verdine at 70 is, you know, like she died 30 years before she should have, but
what you said about that addiction to free and entitlement made me think here. It's like the free healthcare, the right for free healthcare, that mentality is seen as a very noble, very a thing that you should do. It's a thing that's worth caring about. But when a company tries to restructure itself so that it doesn't have to be a part of that by cutting all the hours and not having as many full-time employees, that's seen as corporate greed. You're so greedy. That's the mentality of it being a right. And someone who's trying to not be a part of it is just unconscionable.
Well, here's like, you know, our friend, Jeffrey Shane, I follow his Twitter feed or whatever, you know, and I enjoy his Twitter feed because he if there could be a diametrical political opposite of myself, it would be him. So just politically opposite. And he'll say the phrase to me, we're in a conversation, saying, well, don't you think it's not right that they don't pay people at Walmart, but yet the executives or whatever get more money, they make profit or whatever like that? And I'm like, that's a loaded fucking question.
Yeah.
You know, like, first of all, is it right have to do with anything? It has nothing to do with it. It's business. If you don't like how Walmart's conducting business, go buy a shit at Walmart.
Yeah.
It's the worker's responsibility. If you don't like what you're getting paid, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
The fact
that, you know, responding to your suggestion of not shopping at Walmart will always be met with, well, it's not going to matter because everybody's going to shop there, is a pretty good indication that maybe these executives have done something worth the bonus. Maybe not bonuses, but, you know, it's a fucking business. They can run it as they want. It's not something that you should have you're so greedy. Ugh.
All right.
Run your business the way you fucking want to run it.
Can I pose a question?
Sure, Steve.
What if a CEO of a company is running a business at a loss, but getting higher and higher pay every year? Do you think he's just milking his own company until
that's
the
downfall? That's what he's doing. He's
milking his own company until it falls on its face, basically.
So? Right?
Yeah, that can
if
happen.
He owns the company.
So that should happen and fuck everybody that works for him that's trying to make the company succeed.
Why are you working for him then? If you figure that out, why are you working for him?
Because you think the company actually has a future.
But you can't possibly, if you figure that out.
Most of that shit doesn't come to light until after the company.
No, you understand. You have to understand the relationship. He is an owner and has money invested in it. He has both time and money invested in it. Your investment is your time. You're being compensated by that time with your check. If you don't feel you're being compensated fairly, then you leave or request a raise. If you don't feel like you're being handled properly, you leave. Otherwise, that's how you're being compensated weekly or biweekly or monthly. Yeah. And so if he decides to sell the motherfucker overnight, he doesn't have to go to the employees and say, hey, what do you fucking think about this? I'm going to fuck all of you by kicking you out because I'm selling the company. No, that's the point. That's why you should struggle as an individual to improve yourself, to get yourself in a better situation so you're the cocksucker negotiating the sale of your company.
Okay, So the people at Hostess that protested their low earnings or whatever, the 18,000 people.
Oh, you mean the people that in lieu of a 401k just gave their money to a union to be managed?
Right. So they paid $3 an hour, all these people at Hostess, and into a trust or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, who managed, by the way? Who managed it?
The CEO of Hostess.
The CEO of Hostess managed the trust?
I believe so, or his
lawyers. And who arranged this deal so that the CEO would manage their trust?
Probably him.
He managed it? So union dollars he just had a say over? Or did he negotiate with the union?
No, well, he negotiated with the union. The union said okay, and everybody thought, okay, we're cool. We'll keep working at this company.
And what happened?
Put it into this trust, and the company went under. Yeah. And all of that money, that $3 an hour per employee, 18,000 people that were working there per hour put in $3.
Yep.
To try to make the company grow.
Yeah.
So they were working for the good of the company. The company goes under, mm-hmm. and all that money's gone.
Well,
and
why is that money gone?
Because the CEO mismanaged the company.
The CEO mismanaged. Okay, the CEO mismanaged the company, and coincidentally, the CEO's in control of this trust that was put in place for the betterment of the company. So the CEO is in charge of it, decides to take it and use it to help resolve some of the debt of the company that was mismanaged. Now,
right.
Who's at fault? Is it the CEO that took all the employees' pool of money and threw it away? Or was it the union who's supposed to be so beneficial for the workers that said, yeah, $3 an hour out of your paycheck is going into this pool and we're going to have this guy manage it for the good of the company?
So what you're saying is never believe in the ability of the company that you're working at to succeed?
No.
Downer and a half,
That's
dude.
Not what I'm saying. Whoa. What I'm saying is I would never say, hey, you know what, boss? Why don't you manage my retirement fund and keep it in a trust for the good of the company? Never.
Yeah, but it's not like never. These people had an option. There was no option for them. There was no option to say,
work somewhere else.
There are options. First of all, unions might have had their heyday, but they're clearly outdated, outmoded, or the way that they're currently existing, they're completely out of character, or out of focus.
I disagree with unions completely. I think unions are fucking horrible.
But then you add the fact of the matter is that it's. Well, the problem is not just that people have the say they have the right. The fact that nowadays people, when you say, Mr. Shane would say, well, that's great, but what about people with low income and low access? I grew up on a small farm in South Texas in low income. I fucking made it. I'm making it. I'm trying. I said, the difference is people want to use the word they can't. No one can't, hey, I was born, some fucking disabilities, some serious disabilities. Most of us are just lazy motherfuckers who don't want to do anything. If it doesn't work out for us, we want to get angry and get pissed off at other people. Businesses fail. Not because of management. Sometimes they just fucking fail.
Yeah.
Or they fail because the unions or whatever keep pushing for it's a down market and you keep pushing for more shit to like pay you anymore. It's top down. When people go, well, it's bullshit. How come you're getting more paid? Motherfucker, I got millions of dollars invested in this company. If it takes a shit, I'm taking a shit. So I've got to do something, It's not just as simple as he's fucking the little guy. Trust me, here's a perfect example. Perfect example. The new Texas Stadium with Cowboys play, okay?
Yep.
Jerry, it's $1.5 billion. Jerry Jones is on the fucking hook for $1 billion. Okay? Whose balls do you think are on the fucking line on that motherfucker? What about the cashier? What about Jerry Jones? $1 billion with his name all over it. The cashier gets to go home, have a beer, and bitch about how he's not getting paid. But meanwhile, Jerry Jones is fucking losing sleep trying to find a way to get more fuckers in the fucking building.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's his own fault. It's his own fault.
The whole point is, whether it works out for him or not, he did it. He did it. No one has any fucking concern more for it than him.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. There's more interest in your company going under as a CEO than there is if you're someone working for that CEO. So, okay, I paid into my company. I believe in my company. Don't you want people to believe in the company that they're working at? Don't you want people you don't want cynical motherfuckers working at your company. You want someone who believes that your company is going to do well. But the CEOs don't even give a shit. They don't give a shit. Because they know that there's
the problem is there. The problem is the people that you're saying that are not cynical already are, and every retail job I've ever worked at, the hourly employees always thought they deserved more. Always thought they were better than the spot that they were at because
That's everybody at every company, though.
Why? Because they're cynical. They have no idea of the fucking risk that was put in place by the people above them.
That's not cynicism. That's narcissism.
No.
That's narcissism.
Okay. Hey, take it the other way. Like, you say you want people to believe in your company. I want people to believe in my company, that we can grow, we can succeed, or whatever, but not in a goddamn messianic type way, like this is the fucking, you know, hey, this is the bridge to the other side of fucking, you know, afterlife. The companies fucking go under. It happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the market change, shit happens, and all of a sudden, oh, you fucked us. Like,
the problem is, companies are not honest, and the CEOs and the higher-ups are never honest to the people that work for them about where the company is going.
What kind of honesty do you want? Like, what kind of honesty are you looking for here? I mean, because if you're expecting to sit down and give you, you want a financial statement? You can't get a financial statement. You want a financial statement? Pay into the fucking company, and I'll be more than happy to give you a financial statement. Otherwise, it's none of your fucking business.
It's true. It really is. No, you were hired to show up at a certain time and leave at a certain time and do a certain thing in between those two times.
And you've been paid for it.
And you get money. Potentially a benefit or two.
That, you work your ass off, you might get more money and a better position.
And as long as that continues, have as much faith as you want to have in the company. I mean, that's really it. If you feel good about the company you work for, that is great, and that's what you should feel. If you feel shitty about it, well, maybe you should start considering other options.
So you guys are just painting a goddamn bleak picture, if you ask me.
What's so bleak about it?
That's painting a positive picture? You're saying that's a positive thing?
Because the problem is, Steve, you can't make every company the ideal company. And that's kind of what that's what the solution would have to be to fix
everybody
the thing you're complaining about.
That, though. Everybody needs to do that.
If no, because if everything was ideal, there would be fucking no competition. Nothing would fail. Nothing would succeed. Everything would be stuck in place. Things have to fucking do better than others and have to do worse than others. There will be businesses that'll just be run like shit. It'll happen. It's their right to start a business and run it like shit fail.
But but being an individual, you got to kind of protect yourself, because it's one of those things, like, you only have yourself to protect yourself. You're dead. You're the only one. You know, there's a thousand different ways to look at it, but it is, like, buyer beware. There's okay. You know, you don't just, you just can't walk into a buzzsaw. I mean, yeah, you know, it's not a sharp. They kind of put some nerf, they nerfed it, but it's still going to hurt. You know, I don't know. Like, just saying you want to work for a company, the same company, and just feel like, oh, I'm buying in and just clock in, and all of a sudden all my problems are going to be solved, is fucking naive. Say you're cynical, then you're being naive on the other hand.
No, I agree. You should never work at a company that you think is doing bad. But every company that I've ever worked at has had expectations that were through the roof. Everything's going to be fine. But I've worked at companies that were bought and sold 5 times in 4 years that I was working at them. And I realized, I'm like, all right, at any time my job could be gone.
Yeah.
So I'll just do the best that I can while I'm here. You know, if it doesn't go good, then I'll find another place to work. But here's the thing. I think people should be honest. Nobody's honest. And the thing is, we're rewarding people, which is the higher-ups in the company, the CEOs, the CFOs, the people making the most money in the company. They know where the company is going, so they can appropriate whatever they want, their funds to this, that, and they know how much they're going to be making in the end. Meanwhile, everybody that's working under them, the majority of the people that work at the company, and they all get fucked for the sake of one person. There's a degree of honesty that should be
shared. What do you want them to tell you, Steve? When the company's about to be sold, hey guys, we're going to sell, and you know what? We're probably going to shave off a whole bunch of you. But the sale might not go through, so don't quit now. What do you want them to tell you?
You know, Sam Walton doesn't call a cashier or a greeter an explanation for anything he does.
No.
What possesses a cashier to sit here like, goddamn, I expect to know exactly what the fuck's going on here. No, your job is to fucking ring people up, and we expect you to do your job accordingly. You know, it's kind of like we want them to know. In fact, you know what? There was a documentary on HBO a couple years ago. I said a number of years ago. My brother and I talked about it. Well, there was like a pencil company. It was in some place in the United States. Okay? And this company, they got sold or something. They were going to sell the company because it was just cheaper. The market was falling out of them. We couldn't make pencils anymore. So the fucking, they had a goddamn company meeting, and the owner, you know, we've been in this town for fucking a million years, and we want to tell you, we can't do this product anymore. We're telling you this because we care enough about the community to give you 6 or 7, 8 months to retool, get other jobs, or whatever. Well, the people, and my brother and I still laugh about it to this day, the people, this is bullshit. You can't take our fucking jobs. We're going to go on strike.
That's retarded, man. That's fucking retarded.
The guy was being honest, and then so they're going to strike, and this is bullshit. You can't shut down. And the guy said, look, if you go on strike, I can't pay you.
Why would you go on strike? Those people, those workers, were completely retarded because they said we're going to go on strike. Okay, you go on strike for a failing company. No, take that time and go find another company. That's where I agree with both of you on. But my problem is with people that are saying, oh, the company's great, the company's fine, we have a good earnings report, blah, blah, blah. And then 3 months later, everything is in the shit.
But there's consumer confidence, too. You don't want to walk around telling, hey, this fucking company, oh, shit, man, we're going to fucking, hey, go to the cashier, let them know that sales are down. You know, let them know that.
Make sure, by the way, be sure to tell Hector the night sweeper. Things just aren't looking good. Quarter four report, really terrible. Terrible.
You know, that's the worst thing you could tell people. It's the worst. You can't expect these people complete honesty on that kind of thing. Because the truth of the matter is, only one person in the entire company knows the complete honest truth about all that.
So you just want to milk the workers for what they're worth for the time that you have, right?
Steve, the reason they're workers is because they were hired for a fucking task in exchange for money. If you want to call that milking, then that's the whole fucking transaction. That's what it is. You need them to do that task, so you give them money so they'll do it. If you tell them, hey, you know, I don't know if your job's going to be here in a year, there's a 70% chance it will, they'll probably go somewhere else and you won't have someone to do that task.
It's disagree.
Pretty fucking simple.
If you say 70%, I think 90% of them will stay.
Well, then whose fault is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's nobody's fucking fault. They were hired to do something. See, I don't get your fucking point. Like, if you're on a fucking tightrope, are you gonna be careful as shit if there's no fucking net beneath you? If there's a net beneath you, you might even dip a leg or do some fucking jazz hands or some shit. Because if you fall, you'll be caught. Oh, I'll have a job, so whatever. If there's no fucking net and there's no promise of a job, if the one you're on fucking goes away, then guess what? You're going to be ready for it.
If you're already rich, does it matter?
You know what? I tell you what. If you pick the whole like CEO thing out of it's a philosophy. Some of it is. It's like my dad has always said, like, there's some decisions in your life you just can't fuck up. You fuck them up, you're fucked. There's some things in certain times that you only get one or two opportunities at it. And once you fucked it up, you're always going to be working uphill. And the next thing is, no one owes you a fucking thing.
Yep.
You know, no one owes you anything. It doesn't owe you. And now at my age, I don't owe anybody an explanation for shit. I owe Eric an explanation if I can't pay money to pay bills because we have a partnership, you know. But as far as, like, explaining, like, why I take a left or a right or whatever, it's just personal responsibility, you know. And everybody, you know, nobody wants to take it. Everybody wants a safety net. Everybody wants, you know. Why should my retirement money be? Why would you opt into something like that?
The fear of being unable to do anything for you or your family, and the promise and the hope of being able to do more than you could ever imagine, is the fucking beauty of previous generations. They had that fucking thin edge that they walked. Where if they fucked up, guess what? You're fucking destitute. But if you worked or something went in your favor, you fucking made it and you're a success. You can be either. You can be either if you fucking if you make the wrong choice.
There's no guarantee of success. Absolutely not.
No, I don't think so either. No, I don't agree. I don't think there's a guarantee of success.
There's
anywhere.
Also no guarantee of fucking surviving either. There's no guarantee. You're fucking my job could be taken tomorrow. And you know what? That would suck. But guess what? I'm going to do my best to get a fucking another one. And I can't hold any animosity if my job is taken from me. I can't. Cuz what is that going to get me? It's going to get me fucking zero.
I was listening to another podcast, Jason Whitlock, a sports writer. He does a podcast. He was getting a little political, and he had Charles Barkley on. I asked Charles Barkley, like, he goes, I tend to vote Democrat because they tend to help the poor and the safety net for the poor and get, you know, helping people out. And then he started describing his own personal life on, like, they had that deep end documentary about athletes. You know, not having any money because of this bill on the family. And he says, you can't do that. You can't just give your family money. They'll just keep coming back for more.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. You in your own personal life won't give your fucking family money because you know goddamn well that if you give it to them, they're going to kind of keep wanting more.
That's right.
But when it comes to governmental policy, let's just keep giving the poor shit because, well, we need help them. But yet, that won't come back to bite us.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. If there's nothing available to you, that's when you become inventive. Or you die. That's how it is.
Or you start killing people.
Well, you know what? Then maybe the people you try to kill are fucking even more sharp than you. Fuck it.
You know, and then we look to the government for solutions for problems that they caused. They caused these problems.
It's not the government. It's not the government. If someone mismanages a company, it's not the government at fault, is it?
No. But you think about how many regulations and how many things the government... For example, we always talk about... My perfect example is like Heinz ketchup. A guy measures the bottle and says, hey, there's not enough ounces of ketchup per bottle. It says it should be 12. There's not 12. So he says they make a fucking law. So the government steps in and says, hey, y'all need to have some kind of thing in there. It's plus or minus 5%.
Okay, well, that guy gets fired. That guy gets fired, right?
You know... But they make this law saying, oh, we're going to protect the consumer. But all it did was give people a license, the company a license to steal, because now they've set this bar so fucking low and technology improves that it was hard to get 10% maybe in 1915, 2012, they can get it down to a fucking a mass ass. They don't care anymore. And so the problem is when government steps in things that are none of their fucking business, even if it's altruistic, like, hey, we want to help, they end up creating laws and creating situations for the people to take advantage of, and you can never take it away.
No.
Well, if you give somebody a fucking handout and never expect it back, it's a fucking fact. They're always going to come back for it. Now, what happened in the last election is if you have over 51% of your fucking country accepting government aid and housing or handouts, well, they're just going to vote somebody in that keeps giving them the fucking handout. Why wouldn't you be stupid not to?
Yeah.
Once, it was Benjamin Franklin or something, said once the populace figures out they can vote themselves a raise, it's over.
Like Congress every year.
Vote ourselves a raise. You know, from the nation's till. Wow, we'll just take money. Mm. What does that mean? Where do people think that money comes from? It comes from us. My sister-in-law. She got earned income tax credit. Hey, they gave me money back. I said, motherfucker, that's my money.
Yeah.
She said, be nephews, and you got a fucking tax earned income credit. Like, they took my money away from me and my three sons and gave it to you.
That's right.
And you know, there's no if, ands, buts, or dies. And, you know, and the problem is when we're getting in this country, people think, oh, how can we come up with solutions? People, the he'll say Republican, Democrat, oh, they just don't understand. You're going to end up having a problem where the people are getting fed up with this shit. I know plenty of people are getting, like, I mean, fed up with this. It's gonna, I don't know if it's going to be a civil war. It's going to be something.
Jesus.
Because eventually class it's going to fucking break.
It's a class war.
I don't know. I don't know if it is.
I know poor people who get it. I know poor people who get it, too.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with the class war. There are way more low-class people than middle or upper class. So you don't want to fuck ever with the middle or lower class. You don't.
I just think it's a – what Clayton is saying is that it's not so much a class war as it is people that are starting to realize that if you give free things, it doesn't really make you a better person. If you receive stuff for free, it doesn't necessarily better your situation. You're still eating a cup of Idaho powdered potatoes.
Yeah, well, okay, so have you had a grandparent or a relative that got Medicare, say, for cancer or something like that?
We had WIC. Dude, we had WIC. But we were poor. We had WIC.
We have WIC, too.
You know, we went through that. My mom and my dad went through a phase where they had to. Like, they got off as quick as they could and fucking, you know, spent and saved and did what they could to survive. But they're not doing. They did it for a very short period of time. And once they got off, they never went back. They didn't want to because, you know, the idea of, like, accepting that and needing it, it's embarrassing. And it should be embarrassing.
Yeah.
So they were proud people. They were proud people that saw an opportunity, took the opportunity, and got themselves on their feet and worked past that, right?
But you can't do that if you're second, third generation where all you've always seen somebody having a what we call Lone Star card here. They've always had them. So it's now become just like this thing. It's
just the norm. It's not a shameful thing that we have to do. It's no, just part of it.
I don't think there's so many people that are like that. I think a lot
of
them.
Oh, sir. Oh, come on. And this is where people call you can't use your personal experiences or whatever. Dude, it is rampant. Dude, I was in Philadelphia a couple months ago, man. You could see it. You could see it. Just walking around, people, there's sins. Like he said, you're not thriving. You're surviving. Yeah, you're here. But if you took the population of people now and you backed it up 100 years ago, how many people would still be around? I can't earn a wage. I don't know how to do anything. But yet I'm fat. I'm here.
You know, I don't think there were many people like that, honestly. I think the people that survived were the people that were savvy and knew what to do in their situation.
That's the point. No. Now the people that are here are surviving in spite of not having that ability.
What do you think a CEO, are there criminals that are CEOs? Absolutely. Are there pieces of shit that are poor rich? Absolutely. But you don't attack an entrepreneur. You don't go after a guy who's willing to put his money down on the table and gamble to build a company, whether it fails or succeeds or whatnot. He took a chance. You don't prop up a guy who never took a chance, just kind of, you know, skated by and never just wants enough to buy a fucking flat-screen TV. Why are we investing in him? You invest in a guy who's going to take it and do something with it. That's the guy you invest in.
And employ a lot of other people, whether or not he shares the financial fucking figures for every quarter with everybody.
Right.
He's employing a lot of people.
Yeah, Sam Walton was probably a piece of shit. Look how many people that he put in that to give jobs to, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, anyway.
They all compensate.
So job creation only counts in the short term, is what you're saying.
Oh, who would love to have a job for 45 fucking years? That'd be great. And constantly work your way
that's
up.
That's not short term.
You know, who wouldn't want that?
Steve, the whole thing is, It would be great to work at one place forever, but the thing is, even if you worked there 43 years and you're 2 years away from your 45th anniversary of working at a place and you're about to retire, you should always have that feeling that it could go away, and you should always be working for whatever might need to be next.
So you're not saying if you worked at somewhere for 45 years, you wouldn't have any sense of security ever?
I'm sure at a certain point you earn it in your own brain. Hey. You earn it for yourself. But guess what? It could go the fuck away. You have to know that. Well, nothing is guarantee.
Let me just say something right now. I think that's the difference between us and probably our parents. I think most of us have this lack of faith in any company or any job that we've ever had. I don't think any of us in our generation, I'd say 30 to 40 year olds, like the people that were the children of the baby boomers had it very easy. And I want to quote Talladega Nights right now. Greatest generation, my ass. Tom Brokaw is a punk. I've never worked a job more than 5 years in my life. I've always been employed until the last, you know, whatever. But
until you've taken to your herb garden.
Yeah, until I became a hardcore herb gardener,
self-employed horticulturalist.
Yes, but I think me, you, and Clayton, I think we all have worked jobs where we have no confidence in the people we work for. I think we need confidence.
Well, wait, Steve, I think that's a very positive. The places that I worked at that I had no confidence in, I had no confidence, and I knew I wasn't going to be here very long.
Yeah, me too.
And the thing is, the current job I have, I worked there for 12 and a half years. But here's the deal. I'm involved very deeply in a lot of the planning that goes on, both short-term, long-term, medium-term. And I'm included in decisions that I consider an honor that I'm being included in conversations. But I also know what my last name is. It's a privately owned company. You know, I know my last name is not their last name. And as much as I'm essential for the war effort, I think I would hopefully be further down in the hay for me to start making cuts kind of line. I'm also not stupid enough to go, like, well, you know, things shit out, they can't get rid of me.
Yeah, you but know? Doesn't that piss you off? Doesn't that piss you off?
Fuck no. It's the beautiful
thing. So you readily accept that?
No. It's beautiful. It's great. You know why? I have nothing invested in there in my time, and they paid me for it. I can leave tomorrow. I can go wherever the fuck I want to. If I own the company, I'm stuck there until somebody buys it or I just shut it down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the beautiful thing about being a worker, is I can care as much or as little as I want to.
Yeah, but doesn't
all right, we need to wrap this up eventually.
All right, yeah.
I mean, I can sense Steve taking another turn and going around the block again with this, and I just can't fucking do it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I got a little long-winded to apologize.
Not at all. It was a spirited discussion, and I really enjoy it. And also, I deeply apologize for plugging your show and calling it Hate Us Talk.
I feel
terrible.
I had you on that. I knew it was Bug Zapper Radio.
Listen, I knew it was fucking Bug Zapper Radio too.
No, you didn't.
In my head, it came out as Hate Us Talk. I apologize.
Eric, we were laying down and Eric looked at me. Did he just say Hate Us Talk? I said, yeah, it's okay. He meant well.
Oh, I felt fucking horrible. Bug Zapper Radio. Bug Zapper Radio.
Little people.
Tomorrow. Wednesday.
Oh, hey, yeah. Hey, tomorrow, hey, real quick. A special Bug Zapper is probably going to be Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. I'll try to keep everybody a face on the at Bug Zapper Radio
with Twitter your dad? Feed.
My dad is coming into town.
Yeah.
He's kind of amped. I got a few surprises for him. I know for a fact he has never heard. What is that shit called? Skrillex? What's that shit?
Oh, no! Dubstep? You're going to fucking play dubstep for your
own
man.
I'm going to put the headphones on, and I'm going to say, all right, you're listening to some Led Zeppelin, and he'll be like, now, I'm going to play this. You tell me what you think.
This is Led Zeppelin. No, Clayton. You got to play him the fucking, what is it?
Beep! Isn't it? It's hideous. Fucking hideous.
Oh, it's horrible. But anyway, so it should be Saturday and whatnot. I'm going to try and get it as live. I'm going to try. If the weather's good, I'm going to get the computers and stuff outside so we can actually be under the books. I've got plenty of room. And so I'm hoping it'll be one for the ages. We'll see how it goes. I don't even know how long we're going to do it. So he's kind of amped about it. He says, we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Nice. Anyway. Follow Bug Zapper Radio on Twitter. That's at Bug Zapper Radio. And you'll find out when this epic episode is going to occur on HeroesTalk.com. Clayton, thank you very much for calling in. I really appreciate it, buddy. Oh, did you hang up? Okay, great. Steve, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't hang up on you.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you're looking out for the little guy.
I am. I'm always looking out for the little guy. Because you know why? They'll never be able to help themselves. Ever.
What if they're smart?
Well, then maybe they wouldn't be waiting for someone else to fix everything for them. Anyway, Steve, you had some news that you told me you wanted to bring up on this show.
Some news?
Oh,
about
Christ
what?
For sakes, you don't fucking remember it, do you?
You didn't send me any fucking anything.
These, by the way, I'm not kidding. This is something that you told me you wanted to do from your list. And not only that, I included it in the list I sent to you.
Oh, you did send me some shit?
I did. It's not even that big of a fucking deal.
I should probably log into Gmail.
I wish I never even brought it up. Because it just would have been a fun little thing. Fuck it. It's over now. It's done.
No, absolutely done. I have to log in.
No, fuck it. I do have... Oh, fuck, man. We're at the two-hour mark. I'll have to tell that another time. Anyway, why don't we just wrap this shit up? Everybody, it's good to be back. Thank you very, very much. I love it. I absolutely love it. Have a very, very good week. Steve, thank you for being a part of this. Clayton,
always.
Thank you for calling in. Everybody out there, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And those of you who are live, thank you for putting up with whatever the fuck this was. This
if you believe glitch. In life after love.
I want to just put my fist through your fucking voice box. I just would love to try to do it. Steve, is there anything you'd like to say? All right, you don't get the chance. Eat shit. Thank you. Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. DJ New Style Show on Twitter. DJNewStyleShow.com. And of course, again, it's Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Because Frank deleted our other one years ago. Anyway, tune in Wednesday night, Bug Zapper Radio, and give some special time to Truth Time Theater at sandwichhumor.com. Give them a listen. They're very, very good, and something might be in the works. Thank you very much. Have a good week. Eat our shit and suck our dicks. The Funky Monkeys is coming. Yo, battery from 2007. And oh yeah, you getting a bill for that.